Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On that Cuomo situation, I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Do you have any comment at all on the Antonio Brown allegations that are out there?
No.
Not a word to say?
Didn't I just answer that? I just said that.
Dale Arnold.
And if the Patriots put him on the field and it turns out badly, they look like the worst football team in the history of the National Football League.
New England's carrying on business as normal.
Rich Keefe.
You know, the credo there shouldn't be do your job. It should be we'll take him.
It's the Patriot way.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
You tomorrow. Made the best of the night, but I was born.
I got an app for that.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Little peek behind the curtain for you boys and girls.
Oh, yeah? Right out of the shoot here?
Little peek behind the curtain.
People like that. They like to feel like they're,
you
know.
It lets you be a part of what we do here. So, we both like Steve DiAsi a lot. He's a friend of ours.
Love him.
Great Love guy. Steve. Good football mind.
Yes.
We didn't know he was on the show today.
He is on the show today.
I would have said so when I was sitting here with the guys a few minutes ago.
Well, listen, maybe I didn't tell anybody. Maybe I just showed up. Who knows? You know.
By the way, that happens here too.
Maybe in about 10 minutes, Joey's going to come in here screaming and grab me by the ear and drag me out of here.
What are you doing here?
Who knows? Who knows?
Hi, Steve.
How are you? How are you guys? Everything good?
Things are good.
Yeah, I've been out of town for a couple of days. Anything going on?
Not much. The Red Sox are falling apart.
So, further peek behind the curtain, just a slight aside here. Friday night, I'm at Twin Rivers, and I'm emceeing the Rhode Island Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, which they've now had two of them, and I've been very honored to be the MC for both events. So the thing ends, and I think, I'll go upstairs. I'll go upstairs and see Steve.
Good thought process.
So sure. I go up. I have a nice glass of wine. As I'm paying my tab, I say, hey, is Steve here? And she says, nope, but Freddie is.
Yep.
So Freddie was out back. I got to say hi to him. I didn't get to say hi to you, but it was my first opportunity to be in your facility.
Well, I appreciate that, and I apologize.
That's very nice.
I apologize for the 35 minutes that Fred held you up talking to you. So I know
it took a while to get out and get to my car.
I understand.
And,
that's all right. I understand, but I was in Columbus, Ohio this weekend. So
lovely part of the country.
It's not bad. Big OSU game there.
They did lose their lawsuit yesterday, by the way. They were trying to trademark the Ohio State
University.
That's
so dumb.
And the judge says, no.
We're not doing that.
Well, did Miami, did they trademark the U?
I don't know if they trademarked it, or they just say it all the time.
I know. Can you trademark a letter?
I guess, or you could try to.
Who was trying to do Taco Tuesday?
Stupid idiot LeBron was, and that also got rejected, thank God.
Good.
He got that slapped down on him.
You were so happy when LeBron got it.
He thought he came up with it or something, or he was like he and his buddies were the first ones to ever say it.
Right.
People have been saying that forever.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming by the steakhouse, Dale. Appreciate that. That's always a nice event. I poked my head on last year for the Rhode Island Hockey Hall of Fame. Good people. Nice group of people.
We had a full house downstairs. It was a big event. So, in answer to your first question, no, not much going on around here.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, normal pace of play
around here. It's everywhere. It's in Columbus, Ohio. It's in Atlanta. It's in Dallas. It's in, well, every NFL team that is town that hates the Patriots or whatever. But it's been amazing just to listen to the whole between the national media, the local media, local fans, national fans, Twitter. All these things, it's just been...
I mean, the moment Antonio Brown burned his feet off in one of those chambers, he has been the number one story in football. And then with stuff like this, he has become the number one story in all of sports. And it was even on regular national news. And again, some of the things are kind of stupid. The helmet thing, you can kind of laugh about. The feet thing, kind of laugh about. And then you get what happens yesterday.
Right.
It is as serious as it comes. And now you're just trying to make sense of it all. And obviously, the Patriots have put themselves right in the center of it.
Yeah, and you wonder if and when he knew that this was a possibility, I'm not talking about whether he told the Patriots or not, or the Raiders or whomever, but you're just wondering what he knew and whether or not the antics leading up to the lawsuit being filed, I guess, were to distract from what may or may not happen. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, you show
the whole
up in,
thing's odd. I mean,
show up in a hot. Did he show up in a hot air balloon?
He did. For yeah, he took a hot air balloon to camp.
And he didn't actually practice, but right. He showed up in.
He was there though. He arrived.
Freeze your toes off. You fight the union and the NFL. And
oh, by the way, yesterday he said, "Yeah, forget it. I'll just wear the other helmet."
Yep. I mean,
he didn't really care about the helmet.
No, he didn't care.
No,
at
that
all.
Was the problem.
He was trying to shoot his way out of town.
He wanted out of Oakland. He got to Oakland on the hot air balloon and landed and said, "Wow, these guys are terrible." He's like, I'm not going to be
able, Derek Carr can't throw a lick.
He's going to say, I can't stick it to the Steelers by playing for this outfit. That's what he said. And then he got his way out. It took a whole bunch of different tries. He had to threaten to punch the GM. He had to, you know, punt a ball. He had to skip practice. He had to wiretap his head coach. He had to do all that. Finally gets out and goes to the best team in the league with the best quarterback and is now ready to stick it to the Steelers. And now this happens, and now we don't know if he's even going to play. I mean, he practiced yesterday.
Here's what I think about that part. If the commissioner doesn't put him on the commissioner's exempt list this week, and it's still possible, but as of now, I don't think they're going to. He's going to play.
Yeah. He's going to play.
He's going to play.
He's on the practice field. He's healthy. There's no reason to not play him. I mean, I guess you could use the old, he hasn't had time to learn our playbook. I think they could come up with a couple of plays he could probably run.
Yeah, I think he'll be able.
And the commissioner's in a tight spot too here because this is a civil suit. This is not a criminal action right now, but it alleges horrific scenarios. So this puts not that I care that Roger Goodell's in a tight spot, but the NFL is in
but
a tight spot
right forward,
now.
Yeah, what do you do with other players?
Right,
and then what's also weird for the Patriots. Maybe for the Patriots and the league, if they're going to talk to his accuser next week. And so maybe they're going to learn a whole lot more. But in the meantime, he might be out on the field playing in a game, you know, getting even more attention on him.
Right.
And then next week you're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, it's almost like if the timing lined up in a different way and Ray Rice played a couple games, then the video came out. Right. Because we all read the report about Ray Rice and we said, ooh, that's bad. And then he's still practicing, still playing. He gets popped for two games. And then if the video, let's say the video came out like week six and he had played three games, you're like, well, wait a minute. This isn't a new act. Right. We even heard about it. And now you guys are letting him play. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see if the league does try to speed things up a little bit. Because again, I think him being on the field, if we find out that all these things are true, that's going to look even worse.
Well, if they're talking to the accuser, then they have to.
But not until next week because she's getting married this weekend.
So next week.
They'll talk to him, too.
And then they'll have to.
Yeah.
They can't just simply because what they'll hear from her.
See, they
will
could talk to him now. They could send somebody up here yesterday, today.
They probably should.
But he won't be able to address the allegations from his accuser. If they talk to him now,
no, but all they have to do is say, you know what? We want to get your side of the story. Just tell
us what happened.
Tell us your story. You know, we're going to talk to her next week. Let me just get your story down here. If I were the NFL, I'd do it now.
It's also going to be tough for either side to fully prove it, right? For her, I think it's going to be difficult to her to 100% prove it. It's also for him to, without a question of a doubt, that he is also, like, it's going to be difficult. Like, unless, you know, in the one part of the story, there was one of his teammates could have been a witness or is at least in the house for one of the three incidents that occurred. So maybe that player could be identified, get involved, and answer some questions, and maybe that could help things out. But it's going to be tough.
Here's the dilemma that I think Roger Goodell faces. And I'm with you, Steve. Not enough bad things can happen to Roger Goodell. I hope he is up night thinking about this, but he's not. Here's the problem. You have an unsworn civil accusation being made of horrific charges. Two charges of sexual assault, one charge of forcible rape, as bad as it gets, but unsworn, a civil lawsuit. So let's just play it out. The Patriots are going to play in the AFC Championship game this Sunday, and somebody puts out a lawsuit and says, hey, you know, that guy raped me.
Right.
And you say, okay, well, we did it with we got to take you off the field, Tom.
Yeah, because
until we can sort this through, you can't do that. You can't set that precedent.
I didn't think of that. You're right. Because now if they do something without the adjudication of this civil trial, how are they going to approach any possible civil trial in the future? I didn't even think of that. You're absolutely correct. But again, we've also seen the NFL doesn't necessarily care if they mete out justice at an equal
And you have no idea how they would.
They don't care.
Like the Ezekiel Elliott thing. I mean, if we were in Dallas, that's all we'd be talking about is how they go through this whole process with Elliott. They even talk to one of his accusers, and they look at it. And what was the recommendation? No games. So the league says, "Thank you, 6 games." I'm like, wait,
right,
what?
Right,
like,
right.
What's happening here? Like, so that didn't even make any sense. And again, once you get into the season, that's where things become even more tricky because. That if the Tyreek Hill situation from this offseason, if that all of a sudden popped up in October, well, what is he? Is he now? Are you taking him out of games? And then later on, although I still have my doubts on whether or not he's innocent, but they couldn't prove anything
right.
with Tyreek Hill. So then now he can then turn around and sue the league if you're costing him game checks, even right? Just you're
sure
because like the easy way out is this commissioner's exemptless. You just say, all right, we're gonna ice it and get more information. Like, we don't want to make a decision.
Well, that
takes the decision
away from Belichick.
But it
does do that, but then the league is just basically trying to hit pause, but meanwhile, the rest of the league is still playing. Like, the games are going on.
And, by the way, he's got a $500,000 roster bonus.
And he has $4.5 million tied up in incentives, which are all receptions.
But $500,000 is Sunday's game. He loses $500,000 if they put him on this commissioner's exemption.
And the chances of him getting the catches, yards, and touchdowns
goes down
by the day.
And the Patriots are paying him if he's on the exempt list, and they're not getting him on the field.
Well, the base salary they're paying him.
Right.
And the whole bonus structure is weird. We started to get more details yesterday. They don't pay the first bonus payment until the 23rd.
He gets $5 million. He gets $5 million mm-hmm. on the 23rd.
Then they get $4 million on January 15th.
So
now it's a signing bonus. I'm trying to figure out why they would have done it this way.
That doesn't spread it out over the fiscal year, does it?
I don't think it does. Still the league year.
Right.
My guess would be because of what Antonio Brown, what it was like in Oakland, what it was like at the end of Pittsburgh, they tried to cover themselves.
Or what they knew
maybe even that
was in the pipeline.
Right, like just giving him a $9 million at signing is different than Julio Jones.
Right,
or different
you assume
than,
there you know, has to be certain conduct detrimental clauses in the contract.
He couldn't make it to week one in Oakland. So I know New England's a much different situation, but still, let's let him be on the team for 2 weeks before we cut him a check for $5 million.
Yeah, he also wanted out of there, too.
He did. No, and I think he wants to be here, but again, I think it could work.
Yeah.
Again, I think on the field stuff, I think all of that could work. But it's, you don't know with this guy.
I made the point yesterday that I had received a call early yesterday morning from somebody who I trust who said the Patriots knew something was out there. They were told there's something. Mm-hmm. They did not know that the lawsuit was going to be filed on Monday. Nobody knew it was going to be filed on Monday. They were, quote unquote, caught flat-footed by that.
Right.
If, in fact, Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown hadn't given Bill Belichick a heads up about anything, and all of a sudden, Bill Belichick on Monday night goes, "What?" They'd have cut him already. I think if you're not honest with me, if you don't tell me that I'm facing this backlash, you got to go.
And plus, like Oakland, there's stuff in the contract that they could probably get out of the $9 million, too.
Yes.
Because you say, well, they owe him $9 million. But if that's the reason why and if you withheld it from them, that's why I'm with you. I definitely think they knew to some degree. And if you want to play the semantic game that, they didn't know an actual lawsuit, but just the threat of a lawsuit or that there was a woman who has been talking about this and maybe this could eventually come to a head, well, yeah, of course they knew that. Rosenhaus admitted that he knew that, and he wouldn't be going to do business with the Patriots and not mention that.
And he would damage the possibilities of future
100%
business with the Patriots. But I'm with you, Dale. I think that he probably knew something was going to happen, but the official filing of the lawsuit was probably a mystery to them. They weren't even sure it was going to happen. But then they probably, when they knew it, they knew why it happened.
As soon as Rosenhaus admitted yesterday when he went on SportsCenter that, I'm paraphrasing what he said, and unfortunately, Antonio and I anticipated this may happen. If they don't share that with the team that's about to hand them $9 million,
they could get out of the contract if they wanted. So Bill Belichick yesterday, during his less than 4 minute press conference, wouldn't say whether or not they knew about this. He wouldn't comment on whether or not they would say.
Right.
What's worse? What's a worse look for the Patriots, not knowing about it or knowing about it and still signing them?
Probably knowing about it because not knowing, I'm making the argument for
you.
Yeah,
I'm listening. Yeah.
Why would I ask if there were rape allegations out there against this guy?
I don't think you would specifically ask rape allegations, but you would have to with Antonio Brown say to Rosenhaus, all right, there's a lot going on here. Is this everything?
You'd like to think that question, hey, right. am I going to be caught by anything else?
That's why I think not knowing is actually worse. Because not knowing is you didn't do any due diligence. I'm not saying you need to hire a PI like they did with Carl Crawford, but you need to know what's going on before you give this guy who
you need
already
to ask the questions.
Yes, because he's already had. It's not like he has a spotless record and you're bringing him in.
Yeah, but has his record been legal issues?
No. Or
has
it been a couple things. He has a thing where he was firing the furniture off of the balcony and he almost hit a kid.
Yep.
There was a domestic
violence allegation made last February.
Right.
Which seemed to sort of disappear.
Right. Yep. True. And then there was also, I mean, I don't know if you think this is a big deal or not, but he went 145.
Yes,
there was that he got in trouble for.
Right.
But yeah, overall, it's been mostly things like, oh, the feet and the helmet and he hates Ben Roethlisberger, Facebook Live and all that. But I still think in this day and age, if they knew about it and they felt, hey, you know what? He's still going to be able to play because I'm a win at all costs kind of guy. So maybe other people out there would say, oh, if they knew about this, they definitely should have brought him in. But I think you look worse if you were just didn't ask any questions about him. Like, how did you think you thought everything with him was just going to stop and he was going to be, you know, this perfect citizen going
Boy Scout? No, you're right. No. But yeah, I agree. If we look at the Patriots and we call them the smartest organization in football, one of the smartest organizations in sports, the ability to do what they've done for 20 years, absurd. You would assume, and we also talk about Bill Belichick being the smartest man in football, you would assume that question comes up.
Yes.
What are you not telling us? Or no, is there anything else that we need to know about that you might know about? What else is going on? Absolutely, they ask that question.
Yeah, I would think that
they had to.
We didn't ask the key question. As a former professional football player, a former New England Patriot, would you want him in your locker room right now? I'm not even talking about this. This stuff we didn't know about. Would you have wanted your team to bring in a guy who shot his way out of Pittsburgh, shot his way out of Oakland, and was looking like a buffoon for much of this summer?
Mm-hmm. The only frame of reference I'd have to that is the Giants locker room that I was in when I first went there. That locker room was incredible. That locker room was geared for one thing, to work towards a championship. And I just came from a totally toxic locker room in Dallas where it was completely racially divided. It was a joke of a locker room. And then I come to New York, and Mo Carthon and Pepper Johnson said, look, we know how it was in Dallas. It's not like here. There's only two sides. Do you work like the rest of us to win a championship, or do you not? Because if not, you're gone. I think that's kind of the locker room they have here. Work towards a championship, figure it out, take that stuff to the take whatever the football things that he was doing, throw that out and say, look, you got a chance. And there's nothing wrong. Everybody in the league, not everybody, but a lot of people in the league don't mind a redemption story. What better place to redeem yourself in terms of being successful with a team, being part of a great team? I think guys are able to isolate that. Guys in the locker room are able to isolate themselves from all the other stuff.
Is it a pain in the ass for those guys, though? If you're James White, if you're Devin McCourty, if you're
Devin
Tom
McCourty
Brady,
and Matthew
and
Slater.
Just, you know, you always just want to talk about football and do your job, but is this kind of part of the job? And you say, well, the benefits of having the best receiver in the league are worth the extra questions? Or are you saying, are you kidding me? We were a good team anyway.
What you know is that that those questions will die away one way or the other, regardless of, I mean, we saw with Josh Gordon. We had a ton of questions last year about mm-hmm. Josh Gordon coming to the team, and eventually those questions went by the wayside. So I think when you got enough veterans that understand what's going on here, they know that you'll have question. Now, this might extend it out a little bit more with everything that's going on, but you know that eventually you'll still be able to focus on football, and you know that in that locker room, you can almost put on the earmuffs and understand that all you got to do is go out there and work the way you've always been working.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Peter King at 11:30 and get his take from a national perspective on what's going on here and his thoughts on Antonio Brown and what's going to happen going forward. Steve DeAussie's in the house with us. We'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, but first, we've got a trend.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of the things that I was told to expect after the meeting is that Brittany Taylor may produce some sort of statement or give some type of oral statement to people to better educate people to her side. Obviously, after that, we're expecting now that the NFL will conduct and open its own investigation. And it's up to the commissioner to determine if they want to put Antonio Brown on the exempt list, which will allow him to still be paid while he's still practicing and not practicing and not playing in games. And they'll have to make that determination and if there's any discipline. But lastly, the two key words in this situation, conduct detrimental. Remember, you don't have to be charged or found guilty for the commissioner to find that you have conduct detrimental or that you tarnished the shield in his opinion.
Josina Anderson appearing earlier today on ESPN. She's right. There is that clause and the commissioner can do anything he damn well pleases. But the precedent that he would
you gotta
set,
be careful.
You know, as I said, I gave you the scenario. Patriots getting ready to play the AFC Championship game this weekend, and some woman says, hey, you know, I'm filing a civil suit against Tom Brady. He raped me. You know? And then the commissioner says, well, I took him off. I guess I got to take this guy off, too.
And yeah, and I also think in Josina Anderson, they're talking about conduct detrimental, which, again, can fall into a whole bunch of different things. We thought maybe Robert Kraft could have been included in that. Turns out that wasn't.
It's how the Raiders got out from under the guarantees for Antonio Brown in Oakland.
Yeah, and so you can do that, but then can the commissioner put you on this exempt list and then keep you off the field? I think that's more of a stretch. You know, Tyreek Hill, for example, we had those voice messages that we heard, all the different allegations out there about Tyreek Hill. He didn't miss any games for that. So I definitely don't think the emails, you know, make Antonio Brown look very good. But if we're comparing it to Tyreek Hill, I just don't think the league is going to come in and take him off the field. Now, next week, when they talk to Brittany Taylor, maybe they'll get more information and maybe things will change. But based off of everything we've seen and read right now, I don't know. I think he's going to play on Sunday.
I think he's going to play.
Do you think with that precedent you talk about with the NFL doing something like this, do they want to open themselves up to those situations where they where there's any idea of legal action that they have to that they have to not suspend but you know whatever the list where they still get paid where that list
yeah
is
the
called.
Commissioner's exempt commissioner's list exempt you throw list. Them on there
if there were criminal charges in this case you know what you'd,
right.
you'd probably take him off the field
right. Right, I agreed. But here's the thing. Sometimes in civil cases, I'm not 100%.
By the way, that doesn't make the charges any less.
Not at all.
I mean, the charges are horrific, whether it's criminal or civil. But
am I correct to think that in a civil case, there's a lesser burden of proof than there is in a criminal case?
I believe so, because and you're also not talking about putting Antonio Brown in prison. You're talking about him having to pay a lot of money.
Right.
That's also
right.
the difference. So I think you're right about that.
I think there's a lesser burden of proof, so, and that's sometimes why people will go that route instead of the criminal route.
Right.
They'll go to the civil suit. But again, this is a hot button thing that the NFL has to think about in terms of how they approach it, because there's going to be situations like this that happened, and I can't remember the last one, but there was something last few years where a guy was sued for something. How do you do that? How do you, without letting the court system adjudicate this thing, how do you make a judgment?
If Bill Belichick knew that it was at least possible that Antonio Brown was going to be placed on the commissioner's exempt list or worse, even worse, that you know he's found civilly liable, and if he knew any of that was possible, would he have traded Demaryius Thomas to the Jets?
I think he would have. I don't think he was expecting Demaryius Thomas to be a huge factor in this offense anyway.
But yeah, if you thought Antonio Brown could not be here.
Yeah, that's a different.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how. If you thought he was going to be suspended for the whole year, you wouldn't even have traded for him. If you thought you were going to bring him in and it was going to be sort of, all right, maybe he has to miss a game while they figure this out, or you're going to play him and all the while there's going to be these questions, but he's going to be out there on the field, then he probably does still trade him. I think another factor was how good Philip Dorsett looked. Like, all of a sudden, this position went from you weren't really sure who it was going to be to one of the deeper positions on the team. Now, they all have their own question marks.
Yes.
Is Josh Gordon going to be out there on Sunday? I certainly hope so, but we have no idea.
When you say one day at a time, that's
more
literally
so than
the case for him.
Than anybody.
You've got two players like that now. Two great receivers
in
that situation. You don't know week to week what your roster is going to be
and
in that position.
And even, you know, Edelman is 33. He was dealing with a thumb injury throughout camp. You know, you have Jacoby Myers, who's a rookie. N'Keal Harry, who's on IR to begin the year. I don't know. I know Demaryius Thomas looked pretty good and looked healthy in that fourth preseason game. It was also up against a lot of guys that, you know, probably aren't even in football right now. I had very low expectations for him anyway, so at least this gives him a chance to go play somewhere.
One quick football note as we get to the calls with you guys. New York Jets head coach Adam Gase announces Sam Darnold will miss Monday night's game with mono, and by the way, will probably miss multiple weeks.
Mono. Isn't that the kissing disease? Isn't that what happens? Shime's nodding his head. Shime knows
yes,
all about
it. Is.
He knows all about
no,
kissing
I can
disease.
Tell you.
Oh, you dirty dog.
When
you.
I had
I'm
it,
actually
as,
like
when I had it as a senior in high school, it had nothing to do with kissing.
Oh, come on,
trust
Dale.
Me.
Play it up a little bit.
Trust me, it was the.
Doesn't
mono.
It just make, isn't it just you're sleepy? You take
yeah,
a little
you,
snooze?
You lose weight.
Oh, boy. You know I mean? Oh, no. You don't want mono.
Yeah, they are actually saying
it?
Multiple weeks now. He's been ruled out for Monday's game.
Yes. Oh.
But Adam Gase said he will likely miss multiple weeks.
Mm. It's a viral disease that spreads through kissing.
Well,
that's
it
what
can
it is,
be
Dale.
Spread through kissing.
It's
but
only through kissing.
And it doesn't say.
That's what it
what
says
if you
here.
Like, what if you share a lollipop or something? Same thing, right?
Maybe
share an ice cream cone.
That's not how I kiss.
Or you know maybe like a
share an that? Ice cream cone. That's very intimate, isn't it?
The Lady and the Tramp, where you know all of a sudden you end up.
I share my pasta.
End up kissing by accident.
That's true. That could happen. You have a nice piece of linguine and you meet there in the middle.
If Sam Darnold was as courageous as Steve DiAzzi, he'd battle through this.
He should play.
DiAzzi is battling through a cold here today.
He's fighting it.
He doesn't feel like being in here, but he's showing up for work.
So Sam Darnold out, kissing disease.
Might be the seven cigars I had the other day.
What's one or the other?
What?
Sam Darnold, one of the great lovers of our generation.
Don't you know?
Who'd ever thought? So the Jets they're doing well.
I love the Jets.
They blow that lead last game. Maybe he already had started to have a fever, fatigue, sore throat, swollen lymph nodes, and other symptoms like sore muscles and a loss of appetite.
And more importantly, their fear for the Jets is his spleen could enlarge and rupture.
Well,
yeah, that would suck.
Oh, you can't have that.
Nope.
Now, you don't need a spleen, right? You
can get that. I'd rather
you
have it.
Happened to a guy on my high school football team. Ruptured his spleen, thing blew up. They had to take it out. He eventually came back. He didn't play that season. He was out all that season.
Came back strong the next year?
No, he did play in college, though, so maybe he did help out. Now, maybe the Jets' biggest concern is what if he was kissing a bunch of his teammates? Now the next thing you know, it goes spreading through the locker room.
How about just a hug?
Everybody on the team has mono now.
A hug after the getting a 17-0 lead.
What if,
doesn't
spread
what if
that
you
way.
Share a water bottle.
But a hug.
No, you got to make out with the guy.
You know,
as it turns out.
Say you're hugging. And
yeah. Nope.
You're
not a,
excited.
Not a hugging.
I know,
disease.
But maybe there's a glance.
Oh, you accidentally kiss?
Like, oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
So just to put
how about
this,
those Bears?
Just to put this in perspective for you,
the
Patriots are 19-point favorites.
Yeah.
This Sunday in Miami,
that's getting to 20, guys. Let's get that thing to 20.
The following Sunday, they have to battle Trevor Siemian at quarterback.
Oh my God!
And that's in.
Is that a home game?
Game
no, it's here.
It's here. So
they're going to host.
So unlike Miami, you're not getting that 3 points for being at home. So
they get the Dolphins this week, and then Trevor Siemian at quarterback the following week.
I am happy that my Browns will get a win on Monday then with Sam Darnold out. That's Browns Jets in New Jersey.
Were you
on
that? Were you on that Baker Mayfield bandwagon
too? Yep. 100% I was.
I'm on not, it. He's 100%. Been driving it.
All right. I wasn't wearing my engineer's cap for them, but I was saying that they could win the
I thought they'd win the division. Everybody on our show picked the Patriots even before Antonio Brown to win the Super Bowl, but I thought they were going to win the division.
Right.
And they looked real bad.
They did.
Holy smokes.
But on the same account, I'm watching on some sports channel right now talking about are the Cowboys Super Bowl material.
Oh, well.
One week in,
of course.
One
You're
week.
Get that talk.
Right?
Come they on. Did look good, though.
They did.
They did look good.
Prescott looked phenomenal, but
yeah.
You're going to tell me 1 week you're going to start
and
making...
And that's a good special teams unit they have with the Giants.
Well, there you go.
You know? They were able to take those guys
they've
down.
They've got a really good long snapper. I don't know if you've heard.
Best in the league.
He's contributed to their all-pro kicker or punter.
That's one of those guys. Who knows?
So right now we're looking at a Patriots-Cowboys.
Oh, my God. The league will go nuts, though, if that happens.
It's going to be the Ravens. Don't worry.
Shime
is just...
The offensive player of the week, Shime.
That was Shime's
MVP watch, Dale.
That was his MVP pick. He said he had good value.
He'll be on IR by like week six.
He only ran the ball four times. We're good.
I know.
Steve, you'd be happy to know, last Friday, Shime gave out three locks of the week.
I heard.
And they all hit.
I heard. Last week, first week of the season is always easy.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Give the guy some credit, would you?
I'm giving him credit. Okay. He's going to be
you
better than that.
You said it's easy. You said it's easy.
And he knows it, so you load up on the easy ones.
So we'll have more picks tomorrow from Shime.
You get momentum going.
Good news is he told me earlier today he's seeing the board very clearly once again.
All right, so good. So let's do
Lighthouse in the fog.
That's
do
right.
Do we start our little consortium again this year?
It didn't take long to get Steve back on board.
The midday consortium.
Steve back running our bets to Twin River. Yeah, baby.
You can't wait.
You guys sucked me in before. You are not getting me back.
Oh, stop
again.
It.
I took my money and ran.
You don't like
just
second.
Wait till the playoffs, Dale.
Hold on a second.
Here's the guy. That when we were up $400,
yeah,
and we have come to the Super Bowl, I walk in here like ready to hand out money. You're like, everybody throw in 50.
Yeah,
we're going heavy on the Patriots. He did.
Yeah, I know he did. It was him.
I'm not even making that up for radio.
That was 100% him.
Let's do this.
Was I right?
You were right.
You were.
Okay, then.
You're right. Thank you.
And we had so many pizza parties.
Shime's board that he can now see.
He's seen it really well, Dale. We can't wait till the Super Bowl to make a pick. We got to go week three.
6 weeks in a row, baby.
Look at that.
There you go.
There's college football tonight. There's got to be.
Oh, wait a minute.
What do you mean? Yeah. What? No, sorry. Clay Buchholz for the Blue Jays. They can't win. They're going Sox tonight. No?
I don't think the Sox can win right now.
No, they're not doing so
not
hot.
Not so much.
No.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment on whether or not Bill actually knew going into this thing. And I'm nearly convinced that he did not know. And I think if you look at psychologically what he said on the conference call about Randy Moss, if you were someone that had the inkling that this allegation or something like this, as serious as this, could potentially come out, I don't think you make that comment about the media saying that this, basically the same stuff when the Patriots brought on Randy Moss. Just wanted to get you guys a take on
that. I'm not sure of the connection again.
I mean, and his What's connection, well, when one of the answers Belichick had the other day, responding to Tom E. Curran, was, well, that's what you guys said when we brought Randy Moss in here, which surprised us that he even said it.
Right.
You know, that you criticized us when we brought Moss in. I don't think that answer would have been affected had he known the lawsuit had been filed at that point.
Yeah, because I think then he was talking more about, you know, here comes a guy who wanted out of a situation.
Child,
as a problem,
right.
As a, like,
who's
distraction.
Been known to be a bit of a cancer in the locker room.
I think it was more of that. Because, I happen to think Belichick did know that there was a chance of this happening. But, again, just a chance. You don't know that that's going to be the story Tuesday night into Wednesday.
No.
And your conference call's on a Monday. You had no idea about that.
And nothing was filed before Monday morning.
Correct.
Well after the signing.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, or not well after the signing, but well after the deal was already announced. So whether he knew or not, if I think more of an indication is if Rosenhaus and Brown basically have already said that they knew
they had an idea it was a possibility.
Yeah.
I have to imagine Belichick knew it was a possibility, too.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Peter King will join us at 11:30. Steve DeAssi's in the house with Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What we know about the Patriots, this is their MO. They ask for forgiveness, not for permission. That's just what they do. They let the NFL, they let Goodell handle everything, and they just act as business as usual. Yes, it does come off flippant, and that's where I think they make the problems. When they bring in Antonio Brown, you know you're going to have to answer questions. So at times, just man up and answer the question, just for the betterment of society, honestly. But Bill Belichick, all he cares about is winning ball games, and he's a head football coach. So that's what he gets paid to do.
Emmanuel Acho on ESPN talking about Bill Belichick and the Patriots. As the person I spoke to yesterday morning who said, the Patriots knew there was something. They didn't know this necessarily, but they knew there was something. As that person said to me, the Patriot way, quote unquote, is simply winning Super Bowls.
That's it.
That's what the Patriot
That's
way is.
That's all it is. True. And I don't know how it got all confused into, you know, players are all like perfect citizens.
And even Belichick. Like,
how did that get morphed into that? I think the players are disciplined and the players are on time and the players, you know, they don't give the media a lot of bulletin board material for the other team.
And like they maybe do that, give up some of their own game for the betterment of the whole.
True.
Willie McGinnis talked about,
my
sack stats could have been better, but that's not what they wanted me to do.
So maybe that is what it is. But it's not, ooh, these are all guys with clean records, because we can go through a whole bunch of guys that they had red flags, whether they drafted them, traded for them, or signed them as free agents. There's plenty, just like every team in the league.
I know Belichick dismisses the idea of the Patriot way, and I know
I've never used that term.
I'm sure he hasn't, but without putting a name to it, there is certain criteria that you have when you're playing for Bill Belichick. You've got to be accountable to your teammates. You've got to study extremely hard. You've got to be able to handle quick changes. You've got to put your teammates and the game plan and the team ahead of your own individual desires. There is a Patriot way, but it's not about bringing in choir boys running along.
Yeah, they're not all
like
Matthew Slaters.
No.
Well, you know what the Patriot way really is, too, or one of the things you could lump in is value, right?
Absolutely correct.
And that's why a lot of these guys end up falling in the draft because of certain things. They say, you know what? We'll take them. And you're afraid that you know that they won't come in here and destroy the locker room. Whereas if you take a certain guy and put him in, well, this is a great example. Like Antonio Brown in Oakland wasn't going to work.
Right.
It just wasn't going to work. You put him here in New England. Hasn't worked yet, but there's just more of a chance. Everybody would admit there's a better chance that it's going to work here because everybody else that you have here. And what'd they give up for him? Nothing.
Money.
Okay, they gave up somebody, and they haven't paid him yet.
No. Yeah.
So they gave some money. They were willing to trade a first-round pick for him back in March. So that shows you how much they value his talent. And then all of a sudden, 5 months later, they say, oh, wait a minute, this guy's available just for money? They're absolutely going to do that.
Right.
Let's go to Jim in Sarasota. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, listen, you know, I think this whole thing is going to tarnish Belichick's legacy, his armor, I think for sure, when it's all said and done.
How so?
I mean, they really didn't need the guy. They didn't need him. And he makes a lot of, there's always a correlation here with Randy Moss. This guy makes Randy Moss look like a little girl. I mean, almost killing a two-year-old, throwing stuff out a window in a hotel, driving over 100 miles an hour in the city, driving to endanger, stiffing waitresses, thousands of dollars, restaurants and bars. This guy's a bad, bad guy, regardless if he gets vindicated or not from this. I understand that, you know, it's just a lawsuit and there's no criminal charges involved, but read the text. The guy left. The guy, Belichick bringing this guy in, they didn't need this at all. He pissed off former players. I mean, you saw Tony Dungy's
What former players?
Okay, Ronnie totally agreed with Dungy.
Not from what I saw. He wasn't 100% on
McGinnis,
board.
Brewski, none of them.
No, McGinnis was in favor of it. We talked to McGinnis. He was in favor of it.
Brewski was not in favor of it.
Brewski was. You're right. You're right, Jim. Brewski
was not in favor of it now.
Right.
But what does it matter what he thinks, in all honesty? And I'm saying for Belichick, not that he wouldn't respect what Brewski thinks and that he has an opinion and he was a great player here, but I'm saying Belichick's going to do what he thinks is best for the team. Whether Teddy, Willie, Dale, whoever agrees with him, Belichick's just going to do whatever he thinks is going to help the team win.
To Jim's larger point, it's a legitimate point. They don't need him to win a Super Bowl. They've won Super Bowls without him. They were considered one of the favorites to win it this year, right, whether he was here or not. I don't think you build your roster based on this, but if he goes to Kansas City, your chances of winning a Super Bowl here this year probably decrease, right?
They were probably somewhat even, right? I think most, like, half the people pick the Chiefs, half the people pick the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And if the best receiver is available and you could just pluck them out of the sky, you're going to do it. I also think a lot of people are saying, oh, what do you need them for? They just smoked the Steelers. That's true. I also don't think the Steelers are very good. Like, I think people are looking at them and saying, hey, maybe they're going to be good, and they just beat a really bad, really good team. I don't know how good they're going to be.
Not sure this tarnishes Bill Belichick's legacy one way or the other.
Well, if this ends up being, if the charges that she's putting forth, if it ends up being true,
right,
if it ends up that he, in fact, did these things, then, yes, it will tarnish Belichick's legacy.
You cut him immediately. And it happened when he was playing for the Steelers, not for the Patriots.
But the fact that you brought him in.
But jumping to the absolute extreme, and I'm not comparing Brown to him, I'm just saying, does Aaron Hernandez affect Belichick's legacy? To me, it doesn't.
No. To me, but that's also different. You drafted and signed Aaron Hernandez before he did any of this stuff.
Yeah, but you knew he was a bad guy.
You didn't know he was that, though.
You had a feeling.
Well, how'd you know someone's a rapist?
But, Dale, there was the stuff with Aaron Hernandez.
If you had been told, hey, listen, there's stuff in the pipeline here. He didn't do it now.
But, like, all the gun stuff and all the stuff with Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
Like, again, I know that is a leap to take, but it's also, there's a reason why so many teams or every team in the league didn't draft him for a long time.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Steve DeAssi's in the house. We'll talk to Peter King at the bottom of the next hour. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.